And they were like talking, they understood what they did. So after they're talking for 10 minutes, he says, no, don't worry. I don't know this girl. I've got no connection. My son is not going on shit up with her. But I just wanted to show you what you can, what damage you can do talking like this. And he tells you, you don't really understand. When Ofa Shamayim Yolichet Akom. What is Ofa Shamayim Yolichet Akom? You know, I was going to an exhibition in Germany, going into a taxi from the hotel, and I was with my wife there. We're sitting in the taxi, and it was stinking from sausage or something. I'm not really stinking. The whole cab was stinking. And I'm telling to my wife, Masriach, just lo mitbayesh, ochel naknik ba'auto. Hakol masriach. Understand what I said?
Yes.
Yes? He also understood. He also understood. Shalom, my name is Israel, my name is Israel. In Germany, a cab driver, he buy the Shalala, and this taught me a lesson. What? See, something, whatever, it was stinking. The car was stinking.
More.
Whatever it was. But you see, this is exactly the idea. We don't really know things. You know, I talk also German, because my parents are from Germany, and when I was a little kid, they used to talk with me in German. So when I... So when I go to Santa Chanuku, I meet people, and once I was going to a factory and going back, and then they were talking in the, they didn't know I know German, because I don't talk with them German, only if I have to. So they know I know English. So they were talking in German, saying things, and I'm listening. And then I said, they couldn't believe it. What? You speak German? I said, yes. Why didn't you tell us? You have to be careful. You never know who is listening, and you never know what you're saying, if somebody understands or doesn't understand. And this is a big lesson for us. So when we talk about loving something, sometimes, as we said, to love is sometimes going on war. Pinchas did the same act. And David HaMelech, as I said, this is what he did. But what is the purpose of what you did? That is the thing. What is your intention? Is your intention to do good to God and to people? But even if you do a good thing, but it's only good for you, that's again the same thing. Noam Elimelech says, in Parashat Dvarim, I think, there is a world that is all, everybody is a tzaddik. What is this world? Ve'amech kulam tzaddikim. It's simple. How can it be? How could it be all the people are tzaddikim? We know, en tzaddik ba'aret, she'aseh tov, ve'lo yechta. There is not one tzaddik that does only good. Everybody does something wrong. So how can you say everybody is tzaddikim? So he says, when you connected to Klal Israel, everybody is tzaddikim. And this is our power. And that's the idea of the temple. The temple, the idea is to unite, to understand what it's all about, to understand the power of Am Yisrael. You know, on the Kabbalah, they say, what is human being? Human being, I don't know if I told you about it, it's Ratzon, the will. The will is the human being. What does it mean? When you look around in all over the world, you will see a very interesting thing. The Jews, phenomenon. The Jews, everywhere, are on top of things. Doesn't matter what it is. Good things, bad things, let's say spiritually, physically, business. You will find out that if we take the amount of people that we are in the world, and you take it percentage, you will see that the Jews are in very high percentage on top of others. Why? You know, those who don't believe, maybe cannot explain it, but those who believe know exactly. We are Am Sgula. What does it mean, Am Sgula? We have a very big, powerful willpower. If we want something, Am Ksheorecha. If we want something, we go on it. The idea is to want good things. Sometimes, unfortunately, we want bad things. It's like years ago, I met a girl, and she told me, you know, in life, whatever you want, you can get.
says, what do you mean?
Whatever you want, you can get. What do you think? Can you? Can you get whatever you want? I says, well, what are you talking about? He says, listen to me. Everything's got a price tag. But whatever you want, you can get. If you think about it. You want to be rich? You can do it in the right way. And you could do it in the wrong way. But you can be rich. For how long, I don't know. But you could go to a bank and steal. And then you're rich. You can cheat people. And you're rich. You can do it in a nice way. So maybe in a nice way, you're not successful very much. But if this is what you want in life, and I must say, I knew a guy that from the day one I knew him, he came from a very normal family. He had an idea, he wanted to become a millionaire. That's what it was. He decided he wants to be a millionaire. And he's a millionaire today. What did he do on the way? I'm not going to go into it. But he is. Because all his life, this is what he has as a test. So you understand, Am Yisrael got this great power. If we want something, we can do it. My son was on Shabbos in on hospital, a small operation. We're showing you. We see, Ele Mas'ei Bnei Yisrael, we talked about this week. Ele Mas'ei, everybody's got a journey. Well, and Shlakatos explained that this is a journey, but our journeys. We have 42 journeys that we're going to do in this world. We come out of heaven, come to this world for a journey. That's written in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, Motzaim lemaseim al pi Hashem, ele masaim lemotzaim. In the same Pasuk, the same words, twice, but in opposite way. What is the idea? So the Shlach Kadosh explains, Motzaim. Motzaim is the way where you came from. Masaim is the journey. Where did you come from? Heaven. The Neshama came, got in here. And now, what do you have to do? You have to go to your personal journeys. How do you do them? Alpi Hashem. And if you do them Alpi Hashem, Ele Masaim Lemotzaim. Then the journeys are going to lead you where? Back to where you came from after you fix everything you have to fix in those journeys. And those journeys can be a lot of things. And for example, this weekend, my wife went to Antwerp and my daughter-in-law went to Antwerp to meet two family, whatever. And me and my son were staying alone, so we decided with my other son and his wife, we'll go to a hotel for the weekend. Decided, ordered a place, and then on Friday morning, I realized that my son is in hospital. Because something in the stomach, he had, say, not so, okay, Baruch Hashem. He already stands, he walks, everything is okay. But instead of going in this hotel, whatever, I've been in Hotel Bellinson. So you think a lot of things. So now how do you take it? You take it as a journey, understand? That's what God wants you to do. So you try and do the most of it. There was a guy there. And he did an operation to Kitzur Keva, you say it in English, shorting the stomach, the whatever. He had to do it for certain reasons. And he is not allowed to eat for a few weeks. It's unbelievable. You hear that he's only allowed to drink water and not allowed to eat anything. And now we're sitting there and eating. And we didn't feel so good about it. He says, oh, don't worry, I'm used to it. I prepared myself and that's it. And he smiling all the time. He says, my son asking him, why? I don't know, you smile all the time. You know, you sit in this situation and you're smiling and joking and everything. He says, I'm working on myself. It's not something that comes like this. You know, we have the power. We have to use it. Something like you have to do a diet. So you look at it, if you it's important enough to you, would you or wouldn't you? If you understand and realize that it's a matter of life and death, would you do it? In other words, the will is there. The only thing is, what's going to make it tick. So if the reason is good enough, you're going to go to this direction. So this guy decided to be a millionaire, he became a millionaire. Because he didn't care how, he wanted to be a millionaire. So if we decide to be good people, can we be good people? Of course we can. We have to decide. Sometimes it's not easy, but if we look at it in the eyes of the Torah. And we understand that what God wants, especially at that time, we want to build Beit HaMikdash. How we build it? It's not going now with stones and lorries to the place of Beit HaMikdash and start building it. No, it starts from inside us. We have to build it.
Excuse me.
Yes.
But when you say to people who say, I mean, we had the Beit HaMikdash twice it was destroyed, and it didn't seem to do much for the Jewish people at some point. They totally became, in different ways, corrupt and not so nice people.
Yes.
So how do you inspire people to say, okay, this time it's going to work. This time, if the business comes back, we'll come be terrific people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a good record.
Why?
Oh.
That's true. That's the thing. It says, כל דור שבית המקדש לא נברא בחייו, כאילו החריבו. The Gemara says very clearly, every generation that the temple is not being built, who destruct it? That's what we said before. It's not something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that happens every day. And this gives me back to the question I asked. Why do we mourn and fast on the 9th and not on the 10th? I didn't get an answer.
Because all the other events that happened on the 9th, there's a whole list of events, disasters that happened on the 9th.
Okay. So the reason is the other thing, so why do we call it Tisha B'Av? We'll call it something else. No, you're right what you're saying, but I'm saying we have to understand, that's Tisha B'Av. And the Tisha B'Av, the main thing we mourn is for the destruction of the temple. Or whatever you say, as I said, the B'chinat Chinam that we say, it started then. Yes. What do we have to worry about? Why it's not built yet? That's what you have to worry about. Yes?
Why it's not built yet? Because we haven't created a society with technical reports.
So I heard a beautiful explanation about it, and we come back to the Avat Chinam and Sinat Chinam in a minute. And this was a rabbi Kobi, I think, and he said a very nice thing. He says the idea is because we are so not connected to the destruction of the temple and understanding what it's really all about. First of all, we have to understand what it's all about. So you said a few things. And the main thing is, as we said, Sinat Chinam. In other words, if we don't fix this, if we don't understand that it's us to blame, says, on the 9th, we understand and realize that who is the one to blame? We. So now when we understand on the 9th of Tisha B'Av that we are, because of Sinat Chinam that started at that day that they were crying in the tents, we have to fix it. So when do we fix it? When the fire is burning, we have to take it down, the fire. So the next day we have to start working. Now we're fasting Meto Muta Lefanav. We are the one. That's a relative of us. It's not something that's not connected to us. It's connected to us as a father, as a son, as a daughter, as a mother. That's the way the Beit HaMikdash has to be connected to us. When do we realize it? On the 9th of Av. So then we fast, and when the burning is, and let's say the main burning on the 10th, is when we start taking down the fire. That's our job. To understand and realize, why do we mourn on the temple? Because we have to fix what we did wrong, not what our fathers and great fathers, parents did, what we did wrong, what we are doing wrong today. And in order to understand it, we have to go to this procedure of Shlosh Tashavuot, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av. Then we have to start fixing. So, Sinat Chinam, Ahavat Chinam, as we say, what did they mourn? They said, "Besinat Hashem otanu otzianu Mitzrayim." God hated us and took us out of Egypt because of it, because He wants to kill us in the desert. Now, this is Sinat Chinam in the highest level there is. So, what is this connected to the Sinat Chinam of today? As we said, It started with hating God, and then you hate your friend. The sinat chinam is everywhere, because if you hate God, you hate the creation. And if you hate the creation, you hate those who were created. You hate everybody. And to fix it, you have to love your fellow man. And when you love your fellow man, you also love God. If you love God, you love them. So it's not a punishment. It's a for example, in the last parsha, we had the same thing with Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad. The title of the portion where we're talking about Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, as you remember, they wanted to stay in Ever Hayarden. We just read it this week. And the title, what is the title? Umikne Rav Aya Libnei Reuven. They had a lot of cattle. That is the title of the whole episode. In other words, those people care about what? About cattle. About property. About money. And they say it also. We are going to build Gidrot Zon Letzoneinu. We're going to build for our cattle place to stay. And then we're going to build a home for our children and women. Moshe Ben Tezer, are you crazy? Moshe Ben freaked out. He says, what, you're not normal. What, you put your cattle before life of your family? No, first of all, you build a home for your family and then for your cattle. And by the way, we read in the same parsha, there were 3 Arei Miklat in Ever Hayarden. And how many were there in Eretz Israel? Also 3. Is this right? It's what do you mean? For so many tribes, you put only 3. And for those 2 tribes, 2.5 tribes, you put 3. So what says Rashi? Begilad nefishi rotzchim. There are a lot of murderers in Gilad. Sorry, what? People are going around the streets and killing each other? Impossible. So what's going on there? What's going on there is that rotzchim beshogeg. On shogeg, not intentionally, they kill people. Not mazy. Of course they're not going around and killing people. So why are there so many killers in shogeg? Why? Because if you put your money, your property, before life, life is, you know, you had this in Ranana a few years ago. There was a diamond dealer. He came home and the people waited for him, knew that he's coming with diamonds, and they threatened him with a gun. And this guy, instead of giving him the diamonds, fought with them, and they killed him. You know, if you put property before life, it's wrong. But unfortunately, sometimes, in a small way, we do the same thing. We take what is important and put it aside, and take the less important things and make them as an idol. That's Egel HaZahav. And that's exactly connected to the destruction of the temple. You have to put things in the right proportion. What is important and what is less important? We have to work on a middle. We have a problem, yes. We are human beings. We are connected with flesh and blood, and we want all those things, those nice things in the world, but it's no problem. You can have all the nice things of the world, but put everything in the right proportion. What is important and what is less important. In other words, the building of the temple is building myself, my inner side, or working on my middot. What is working on my middot? Tell you, for example, what is working on my middot. A few years ago, came 2 people to my shop. One was 100% crippled. Like, he couldn't, hardly move. And there was another one with him who helped him. And you have to understand, this guy wanted to walk. So with the help of the other guy near him, he didn't use the wheelchair, he wanted to walk, and he wanted to choose a chair for himself. So on the way, he bumped something and he fell on the floor. And the other guy that was with him was helping him move it. And he's telling him, no crying, no things. He's telling him, move the right leg, move this now here, move here. We tried also to help. And it took, I think, 10 good minutes till we could pick him up, because we had to do it in a certain way. So you would think now that after this, he will take his wheelchair. No? He wants to try the chairs, and he moves from chair to chair by himself, with the help of this guy. And you know, what amazed me is that he did it so naturally. Now, he didn't feel anything wrong with what he's doing or anything heroic with what he was doing. This is Avodat HaMidot. The guy was helping him. Maybe he's getting money, so what? 10 minutes it took us to put him back up, lying on the floor, not complaining, not saying anything. And I believe that each one of us here and there sees those things. The thing is that we have to work on ourselves and to realize also another important thing. Not everything is as it looks on the surface. So we don't worship the building of the temple. We worship what it means. For example, we're talking about my shop. I got a lot of examples from the shop. What can I do? One day somebody comes, he wants a good chair. So what is he choosing? Choosing the highest chair and the biggest chair. And unfortunately, this is the cheapest chair and the worst chair there is in the shop. It looks good, worth nothing. Bad mechanism. Like, it's really not a good chair. Especially for somebody who wants a good chair. He suffers from backaches or whatever. And I tell this guy, you see this chair? Like a very humble chair, a small chair. But it's an orthopedic chair, a good chair. Really supports the body in the way it should be. But doesn't look much. So then he sits on the chair and realizes the difference. But you see, the first thing, what did he look for? Big, tall. This is the best chair. Don't we do this? Look at the surface. We look, look at this. Like I always tell you guys, I was dabbling in the Bakhtika in a great show, and I saw this guy coming like with a frock. It looks like a real Rosh Yeshiva. Quiet, everything. And then I see this guy, which is like with a kippah sruga, and a small kippah sruga, not a very big one. My inyanim, my nishma, duvid, the zen, and then, or rabbi, and things, and they're talking like friends, and I couldn't not listen, I was there. No? He says, what is this sakpos you're wearing? He says, I got this job, and you know, and then I thought to myself, you know, somebody sees this guy, is sure that this guy is a great rabbi, a great Rosh Yeshiva, because the only Rosh Yeshiva go with this frack, with this long thing. No, I was joking once. I told him, I'm going to Bnei Brak. I'm going to buy this thing. No, years ago, I gave a drasha in a place of Chozrim B'Tshuva. And Klei Suf, whatever it's called, there is near Mishpon somewhere. There are very rich people living there, and they have those big mansions, and one of them was doing Chazara B'Tshuva. So every week on Wednesday night, it's got this brick tent, and people come from all over and listen to drashas. And one day they didn't have any. I'm like, they say, if somebody is not coming, they call me. But everybody has a job in life. Everybody's got a job in life. I am a cook. So this is my job. So they call me. Come and give a lecture. I'm coming there. So I'm coming in dressed like this, you know. And there is this guy with a beard and thing is doing the thing. And I'm coming in. And he thinks I'm one of the people that comes. So people think, he goes on. Ata darshan? Ata bata lidrosh? You are the one who is going to give the speech? I says, yes. Something wrong? He says, no. He looks at me like, I understand what he... Okay, I give this lecture, everybody enjoys it, and then I go in and to the house, and there is this rabbi who I think is the one who helps the guy to do Chazara B'Tshuva, and he looks like a normal Haredi. And he looks at me like, and I see how he looks at me. It was the first time I've been there, and the last time. And why? One reason. I wasn't wearing the right clothes. That is this world. That's the world we're living in. Unfortunately, people look how people...
At the uniform.
At the uniform and don't realize what is behind. They don't even... Look at the outside, don't realize what's inside. And this is a big lesson for life.
We should not look at the outside of people. We should look at the inside of people. And it doesn't matter if this guy's got a kippah like this, a hat like this, a beard like this, no beard, no kippah. It doesn't matter. We don't know what's inside, and we don't know what he went through in life. No, people, God puts them in a certain position. And this position is a very difficult position. And sometimes this guy, what he's doing, the small things he's doing, are worth million times more than what the other rabbi in Bnei Brak is doing now. Because this guy, he went to a religious school, he went to yeshiva, he went to all the right places, and he was, from a small age, was, let's say, built to be a tzaddik. But is he a tzaddik compared to the guy who was raised up in a place where there were no Jews, no religion, no nothing, and he feels something, he wanted to come closer, and he does a few mitzvahs. Who is the one to decide who is the righteous and who is not? Are we? We don't know anything. Like this morning, the same, the Rav, never mind. He says, he has gotten a shiur for a few nights, somebody came to a shiur, because his wife died, and he promised his wife is going to learn Gemara. He says, this guy looks like an Admor. He's got a beard like this, a hat, all the clothes. But if you look at him from the outside, you think you have this big rabbi. He says, this guy doesn't know where Rashi and the Tosfot is in the Gemara. Doesn't know what side is Rashi and what side is Tosfot. So in other words, we all can look like the best people in the world. We can all have this beautiful building of Beit HaMikdash, but is this what we want? We want the inside. There is no meaning to the outside if there is no inside. Yes, we need the outside and the inside. But we have to understand what is important. It's not the outside that is important, it's the inside that's being reflected by the outside. When this is connected, this is Binyan Beit HaMikdash. This is why you need Yireh Shamayim, somebody who is a fearing God, to understand and realize what do we miss in the temple. And we miss it. And the more we understand the feeling of, imagine to yourself that tomorrow, today, the Mashiach comes and takes us all to Jerusalem. And all Am Yisrael together going there. And all the nation will look up to us. We'll understand and realize, Bayom HaWi Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. They will realize what Am Yisrael is. They will realize what the Beit HaMikdash is for them. They will realize that all things that happen in this world are connected to the Beit HaMikdash, to Am Yisrael. And we will come and go to the Beit HaMikdash, and we'll, the minute we go into Jerusalem, the closer we got, we will feel like we are not walking, we are floating. Because the spirit is going to elevate. You know, the Aron HaKodesh, the Levim were not carried the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh was carrying them. Do you understand this? Did you think about this? This is the feeling we will have going when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built. That's what we want. This is what we aching for. But in order for this to be done, we have to put things into action. Before a few parashot, we learned that the spirit, the ruach, the spirit of Pinchas, that elevated him up to heaven to do this heroic thing. From the other side, where the spirit of the Tan v'Aviram that took us down. And then we talked about the power of speech. The power of speech is really what we are. Vayifach be'apo ruach chayim, nishmat chayim, says the Onkelos, nafach be'apei, Nishmata dechayi, ruach demalem, the spirit of talking. In other words, the power of speech. So we have Ele Advarim. What is Ele Advarim? Ele Advarim. We will start this week Ele Advarim. Says, Ruach Haim HaKadosh. Those are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke by himself, which is something that we cannot accept. Because the Gemara says, if somebody believes that even one word is not from Hashem, it's kofir. So how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it by himself? There are a lot of explanations, but one of beautiful explanations is to understand and realize that Moshe Rabbeinu is elevating himself to the level pe el pe adaber bo. In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking is God talking. Now it looks to us something. What does it say to us, simple people? I tell you, we all can talk with the voice of God. If we go and make, what is Ele Advarim? Ele Advarim is not Diburim. It's not the speech. It's not enough to have the power of speech. You have to act on it. Ele Hadvarim, mash, what you do. In other words, it's not enough to talk. We have a lot of talkers. Yes, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. And you have also those who promise all the promises for the election now, for all the year. We're doing to do this, doing to do this. And afterwards, you can really go to the Kotel and talk to the wall. Now you can talk to them. And they answer you very nice. Then you can go to the Kotel and talk to the Kotel. Hopefully, who knows, till then we'll talk to the Kotel and the Kotel with the Beis Hamikdash will come down. But till then, we all know what is talking to the Kotel. And this is exactly the point. If you say something, that's the power. You cover, you've got. First of all, talk nicely.